Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome back. My name is Chris.
I'm Andy.
And I'm Steve.
And this is Streaming Things. Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Everyone. Good to see you here again. I don't see you, but I wish I did. I bet you're beautiful in your own special way.
I bet you're just a downright fox.
You think so? In like in a traditional way?
Soup to nuts. Soup to nuts.
Yeah. As they say. So today's a big day, an auspicious one, in fact. It's a secret episode. Some might say we didn't have anything planned. I say nay. It was a secret until you read the episode's title. We're going to be talking about the 2021 Oscars. The nominations, rather.
Chris, you want to say that again?
The 2021 Oscars.
But what was the way you were saying it earlier?
Oscar.
The Oscar.
Nomination.
Nomination. Oscar. Nomination. Because I like to think of the Academy as an elitist cult of elderly white folk, and they actually have like an Eyes Wide Shut-esque underground lair, and there's a guy.
I think that's what QAnon says too, bro.
Really? Yeah, they could be onto something.
A Hollywood cult, yeah.
So then, yeah, they're just like marching through the catacombs, and there's one guy before they announce what the nominations are going to be amidst the cult. He's just marching down the hallway of the catacombs, probably shaking some kind of bell, going, Oscar nominations. And there's like a weird murmur of prayer throughout the crowd in a dead language.
Yeah, exactly. Sacrificing the guy that fucked up the La La Land.
Exactly. Yeah.
Rabble, 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 rabble.
Mel Gibson's at the head of the dais.
Why Mel Gibson?
Because you know if that existed, he would be the leader.
That's true. This scary bad guy beard.
Everybody knows. That's why they always get Oscar nominations. good.
Yes. Who shall we sacrifice this year to get another midnight nomination?
Anyway, Clint Eastwood's definitely there. Just
talking to chairs.
He's like the Grand Moff Tarkin.
We're infusing him with the blood of children so he can come back to life and make
Tarkin
another movie.
Of the group for sure.
The Tarkin.
Anyway. So that's what we're going to be talking about, the 2021 Oscar nominations. And also, today is the big announcement where we announce the winner of the contest that we set forth 2 weeks ago. All you had to do, it's actually pretty labyrinthine now that we think about it in retrospect.
There was a lot of work on your end.
All we had to do, you had to retweet one of our posts regarding streaming things. of which there were precious few, admittedly, and send it to our email at streamingthingspod@gmail.com, or a screenshot of that, rather. And what we meant was, maybe not everybody has Twitter. Maybe you could share it on your Facebook. Everybody has something, we thought, right? So you got Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, MySpace, TikTok, Snapchat, whatever. Bumble. Grindr. Put it on your fucking Grindr. We didn't care. We just wanted you to put us out there.
Dude, put on your Grindr and see how much fucking...
Swipe right on Streaming Things. That's what we're saying.
You get, like, courtesy of the Streaming Things crew.
That's what we're trying to say. So here's the thing. We admit this was a catastrophic failure. We're talking Pompeii levels. Okay. So our social media presence, even though we have a decent listenership, and of the listeners that we have, the best listeners and fans in the world, very engaged, very active, very loving and supportive throughout countless vain attempts, right, to keep this show going. And yet here we are, only because of you. So that worked. However, our social media presence, extremely weak. And we knew that. That's why we came up with this idea, right? And yet our social media presence is so weak that the contest wherein I am willing to pay you to engage with me on social media did not work either. But it's okay. We did get some participation. So the odds of you winning tonight, if you did this and you're sitting here listening Monday morning-ish, I like to assume you're a prompt listener and you're just excited, like, how much of a chance do I have to win? Is it one in a million? Is this like the lottery? I could really use that 50 Amazon bone. Those Bezos bones, please let them be mine. Let me tell you, you got like a 1 in 10. So pretty fucking good. So you can get excited right now. Steve, tell them how we're going to decide this auspicious event.
Well, we here at Streaming Things believe in science. And so what we have done is we've taken all your tweets and we have used an algorithm to find the ones and zeros that create them, essentially finding what creates your soul on social media. And we have put that through an algorithm that distills it into its very essence, which is your name scribbled on a piece of notebook paper that we have cut out, thrown haphazardly on the table.
Yeah. Are they even in a hat, Steve?
Are they even a hat? Nay.
Are they in a bowl?
Nay.
Are they in any sort of container
that would
facilitate this procedure? We are literally going to pick up one of the 9 pieces of paper.
Or you know that's what we're doing.
And give that motherfucker $50 no reason. It did not work at all. It is as if we paid a PR person $50 and they just went home and jerked off.
And wherever it landed is the one we picked.
All right. With that.
Oh, wait, hold on.
Introduction. Let's choose the winner.
All right, here we go. You ready, Chris?
I'm ready.
Here we go. Where will it stop? Where will it stop, baby? Big money, big money, big money, big money.
No whammies.
It's still spinning. It's still spinning.
And the winner is Chauncey Luce. Is that how you pronounce that? Is it supposed to sound like a...
It's Chauncey Luce.
I wanted to say it
Chauncey.
Espanol wrestler. Chauncey Luce. You know what I'm saying?
It sounds like a Pokemon.
Yeah.
Chauncey.
Isn't there
one? Why do
one?
You only say your fucking name?
Congratulations. You emailed us the screenshot. So we have your email.
Yeah. So Chauncey,
which is, by the way, why we did that portion of the contest. It all made sense at the time.
Yeah. So thank you everyone who did email us and send that in and retweet it. We thank you so much for the few of you that did. Chauncey, we will be emailing you soon. So keep it on your email and we'll let you know how we can get you that $50 Amazon gift card that Chris has provided.
We will send that henceforth. Thank you so much to everyone who participated. So if you've never listened to the show before, it's pretty much what you're hearing now. However, we also occasionally talk about TV and film, and we're going to get to that very soon. Follow us on Twitter or whatever. You can find me on Twitter at C. Michael Writes, as in what Shakespeare does. Andy?
I'm at Andy Most Days.
And I'm at Steve May 13.
Steve May, 13th of his name. Very excited to see what Steve's going to tweet next. I don't know why I said very excited. I just tried to run with it. And it kind of worked.
What am I excited about? It
kind of worked.
What am I excited about?
I am excited, segue, about next week's show, because we're going to be talking about Mortal Kombat.
Oh, yeah.
The reboot, the remake, sequel, requel?
We'll find out.
Whatever it is, it's going to be amazing.
It's coming out on HBO Max.
HBO to the max on April 23rd. I believe we are recording that evening. So we might do some old school streaming. No, it'll be Saturday, won't it? Doesn't matter. That day or the next, we'll be recording. So it'll be really fresh on our minds. And the Oscars, which we're going to be talking about tonight, will actually take place on Sunday, April 25th. So the next time you listen to this, both things will have happened.
Yeah.
Anywho, so.
But next episode is Mortal Kombat. And then the episode following that one will be our Oscars kind of recap. We'll probably mention it,
but who knows if that'll be the main event.
All of our predictions we make tonight will be wrong, and then we'll just ignore it.
Yeah, absolutely. Doesn't matter. I haven't even seen most of the movies. Who cares? I hate movies. Let's talk about some we've been streaming. Crossing Streams, the wonderful segment where we talk about what we've been up to in the digital artistic space since last we met. Andy, you can start us off as always.
Yo, I've been streaming so many things.
Yo.
Tell me.
So many
things. As Morpheus would say, show me.
Show me. So I've streamed so many things that I went through and I wrote 15 word reviews for them.
Like so in a haiku format? Why 15 words?
Because I wrote the first one. I was like, that's 15 words. And I'm going to stick with that number. And so I just went from there.
I respect your psychotic commitment to symmetry.
Since you have written down your thoughts in 15 word almost poems or short stories, mm-hmm. I imagine, can Chris and I rate your...
Rate my review?
Rate your reviews. No.
I would have tried way harder if I knew that was going to be the case.
This would be the Oscar nominations of Andy's reviews.
So the first one I watched is an Oscar nominee. It is Two Distant Strangers on Netflix, directed by Trayvon Free. It is nominated for Best Original Short. Here's my review. Felt icky seeing George Floyd's scenario as Groundhog's Day, but it had a powerful message. It is a movie where it is a time loop.
7 out of 10.
But it is, it's a time loop, but it is a black man that is continually being killed by the police. And the very first time that he dies is a George Floyd type of scenario. And I was watching this and it's like, this is very clearly what you're doing. And I understand why you're doing it, but I feel really weird. Like the trial is just going on right now with mm-hmm. the police officer and stuff. And I was
this made before or after the George Floyd's incident?
I don't know. I didn't look up like when it shot and stuff. I don't know. Felt icky.
Well, I mean, like either way, like that's something that's always plagued America for a while now. So
sure. Yeah, very true. Very, very true.
And even in more recent news, it just keeps getting worse and worse.
Yeah. Yes. All right. Next, I streamed Train to Busan Presents Peninsula, which first off, like, God, I hate the title of that movie.
Wait, what is it again?
Train to Busan Presents Peninsula. That's
so this what is it's titled this is not Train to Busan. It's this is sequel. Another movie.
It's the sequel.
It's a sequel directed by Yun Sang Ho, who no American audience is going to recognize that name. So you can't say that he presents or that they say Train to Busan Presents.
Well, they had to include the IP, but they didn't want to call it Train to Busan 2.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why it wouldn't just be Train to Busan 2 Peninsula.
Or just Train to Busan Peninsula. You know what I mean? Just
sure. Or yeah. Train to Peninsula.
Right.
Or Peninsula to Busan.
way better. Anyway, so my review for that doesn't reach emotional highs of the original, doesn't try to, and is better for it.
4 out of 5 Train to Busan Peninsula.
Next, I watched The Mandela Effect on Hulu, directed by David Guy Levy. My review is follows. We don't need a whole movie saying you don't remember how to spell Berenstain Bears. That's it. That movie was awful.
Is it a documentary on... The Berenstain
no,
Bears.
It was a fictional movie. It was about a guy whose his daughter passes away in a tragic circumstance, and then he becomes obsessed with the Mandela effect. And he's trying to remember, did my daughter's stuffed animal of Curious George have a tail? It was a GIF or Jiffy.
Right.
Wasn't it Berenstain Bears or was it Berenstain Bears?
Is that an Oscar nominee?
No.
Why did you watch that?
I don't know.
I don't know why I do the things that I do, Christopher.
Because I like weird, schlocky, horror, thriller type things.
I knew that. Is it on Shudder?
No, that was on Hulu.
Okay, so that's available on Hulu. And then mm-hmm. the short, what was that again?
The short was Two Distant Strangers. That's on Netflix.
Netflix, okay.
Train to Busan was on Shudder. I left that part out.
Gotcha.
As a Shudder exclusive. Next, I watched The Father, which was a rental. So it's...
watchable wherever. Directed by Florian Zeller, who also wrote the play. My review, my 15 word review is as follows. I need more than 15 words to properly convey just how good this movie is.
10 out of 10.
31 out of 51 good dads.
So meta.
That movie was so good.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let me change my, let me change my review. 10 out of 10 daddies.
Daddy. It's Anthony Hopkins' best performance. Olivia Colman kills it. The production design is amazing. For those that don't know, it is a movie about a older gentleman who is dealing with dementia and his family around his loved ones who are trying to deal with it and care for him. But it takes place and is filmed from his perspective. So like characters are changing, the actors are playing these characters are changing, the set design is changing around him in real subtle ways.
Oh, interesting.
It's brilliant. I love it.
That's a good idea.
Yes.
I like
super
that.
Good idea.
Is that nominated?
It is for a whole bunch of things. I think 6 Oscars. Anthony Hopkins deserves to win for best actor. Olivia Colman probably will win for best supporting actress.
Tony Hopkins, he's won, right? Like he's an Oscar winner, right?
Yes.
He's not one of those actors that Hannibal always won.
Silence of the Lambs, didn't he?
Okay. I know we discovered that Silence of the Lambs won Best Picture a couple of episodes ago. But I feel
it was one of the ones that won the big three, right?
That's right. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, because we learned that. Mm-hmm. We learned that on the show.
During the trivia shows.
Yeah, Chris's 21 trivia.
I believe his only Oscar is 1992 Silence of the Lambs, Best Actor.
Wow, that's shocking because he's just always been firing on all cylinders. I feel like my entire life of watching him, you know.
He's a phenomenal presence.
Yeah,
for sure. Amazing. And honestly, of all the movies I've seen of his, I do think this is the best he's ever done.
Well, that makes me excited to watch it. It's one of the ones that I have not seen. So I will get to that before we record Mortal Kombat.
Did you mention where you watched that?
I rented it. I did it on Apple TV, but I'm sure you can do it many places.
Cool.
Next, another Oscar nominee, Best Picture, and director and actress. I watched Nomadland. And I've been talking to Chris about this. That movie title is impossible to say right the first time.
Nomadland?
It's just for Andy.
Fuck you.
Nomadland.
I streamed that on Hulu. It's directed by Chloe Zhao. My review is as follows. Frances McDormand is a national treasure who must be protected, but this movie is not.
7 out of 10 RVs.
I thought that it was kind of boring. It didn't go many places. I felt like it was a cool idea to have nomad people play themselves in it, but they're not actors, and so they came off as stilted. It also kind of whitewashes Amazon and their horrific work conditions that they have there in their warehouses. It was filmed pretty gorgeously. The cinematography reminded me a lot of Manchester by the Sea. I really liked the cinematography, but it just didn't do it for me. But Frances McDormand was awesome in it. So, you know, it's worth checking out, if not just for that.
Is it possible for Frances McDormand to not be awesome?
No, I think she has tried.
She's awesome.
Be bold and mighty forces will come to your aid.
Goethe said that. I believe that.
Believe it.
Next, I watched another Oscar nominee. Ooh. I watched Trial of the Chicago 7 on Netflix, directed by Aaron Sorkin. My review is as follows. A bunch of people sit around being really excited they're in an Aaron Sorkin movie.
3 out of 7 Chicago 7s.
Yeah, it's great. Of the Oscar nominees, it's the most rewatchable. Aaron Sorkin makes great movies, and this is no different. It is a little historically inaccurate. I discovered after the fact when I read a bunch of stuff about the Trial of the Chicago 7, but I enjoyed it very much. I think that Sacha Baron Cohen was awesome as Abby Kaufman.
A lot of people gave him shit for his fake Bostonian accent, but I thought he was great. I thought all the performances were good.
Absolutely.
And the guy from, fuck, I'm going to get a lot of shit for forgetting his name, but he's in Succession. A lot of people said he was just phoning it in.
I thought he was awesome.
I really enjoyed that movie. I really did. I think it's the weakest of the Best Picture nominees for Best Picture, right? But
mm-hmm. I haven't seen all of them yet, but I'm getting close. I can't remember that actor's name either. I'm looking it up because it's going to drive me absolutely nuts. Jeremy Strong.
Thank you.
He is strong in this movie.
Jeremy Strong.
6 out of 8 Strongs.
Next, I watched Sound of Metal, another Oscar nominee, Best Picture nominee on Amazon Prime, directed by Darius Marder. My review is as follows. This movie is definitely going to win Best Sound Design, and it's not even close.
100%.
4 to 8 metallurgists.
Also, they don't play metal in it. Like, it's like this indie alt rock grunge type thing. And I was like, this is not metal. Why is it called Sound of Metal? And I actually still don't know why. I guess maybe like the sound of the cochlear implants, potentially. I'm really not sure why it's titled what it is. Anyway,
I don't know why, but when you said that, Andy, I thought immediately, like, that's the most Jack Black Andy's ever sounded in my life.
Hell,
why
yes.
Is it this metal?
This isn't metal enough.
This isn't metal.
Grunge rock tried to kill the metal, but it failed.
So Sound of Metal is about a musician who loses his hearing, and he is also a addict who is fairly recently recovered, and it's him trying to navigate losing not just his hearing, but also his way of life, because he is a touring musician. Main character, Reuben Stone, played by Riz Ahmed. Riz Ahmed does a wonderful job in that movie. It made me depressed, and it made me think a lot about the fact that there's this enormous community of people in the United States that understand English the same way that I do, but I can't communicate with them because I don't know ASL, and it made me really sad. And so I went and learned the alphabet. I'm like, I can at least have that, right? And so I'm going to try to expand on my understanding of ASL a little bit as my life continues. Next, I watched Nobody, a rental directed by Ilya Naishuller, who I just discovered. He also directed Hardcore Henry.
Yes.
That was awesome. I
watched
that movie
before we filmed Kinsey, the night before when the cast and crew showed up to spend the night at the house.
Oh, yeah. I remember we watched it together in your basement.
I rented Hardcore Henry for everybody. That. Yeah. You ever seen Hardcore Henry, Steve?
I haven't.
So for those that don't know at home, that movie is shot completely in the first person, like a video game. Like you can see the arms with the gun and that's it kind of thing, which sounds absurd, but it's actually incredibly immersive and creative and insane that somebody would make a feature film out of that. But they did.
Mm-hmm. It was super cool.
What the Doom movie wanted to be.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Nobody is the Bob Wick movie. It's Bob Odenkirk playing John Wick. My review is as follows. Tonally inconsistent movie with very silly writing, but watching Bob Odenkirk kick some ass rules. I had a lot of fun with it. I watched it with Chris. I'm not going to talk much more about it because he'll probably want to talk about it a little bit in his streaming section because we watched it together.
9.5 somebodies out of 15 and a half.
Out of nobody's. And then last, I watched first two episodes of Invincible. I ran out of time and I didn't write a review for that. But it was really good.
I'm disappointed.
0 out of 10 Invincible.
You get a 0 for that one, Andy.
Failed the assignment.
Boo. Wait.
Super cool cast. Does awesome job bringing comic book series to life. I like tacos.
You should have said I liked it.
Damn it.
He just threw tacos in. Steve, what have you been streaming?
Well, to piggyback off that, I also watched Invincible this week, but I'm all caught up except for the episode that came out this week.
What'd you think?
Loved it.
Isn't it so good?
Loved it. So I started watching it in the very first episode. I'm watching like, all right, this is fine.
And no, I know where you're going.
This is okay. Like, whatever.
Nothing
like,
I haven't seen before.
I'll have it on, you know, in the background while I do laundry or something. And then Chris, they fool you. They trick you because they put the end title logo on and then they put like executive producer directed by, and they're like, oh, wait, hold on. Let's not get too deep into the credits now because we got a whole other scene to play. And that scene is so goddamn intriguing and violent and insane and just completely different from the last, I don't know, 30 minutes of the show you saw prior that I was immediately like, okay, I'm going to put down my laundry and I got to watch the rest of this in a day. So I watched the entire series I could all in one sitting one night this week. It was really, really good. I loved it. The cat, I think you talked about the cast last time when you brought
ridiculous,
it up, Chris.
Ridiculous.
It's so good. I just love everybody in that. And I, you know, I'm a sucker for Jason Mantzoukas. So seeing him pop up in anything is always fun, even though he technically just plays Jason Mantzoukas in everything I've ever seen him 100%. In.
Do you watch Big Mouth?
Yeah, I've seen, I'm not caught up, but yeah.
That show is one of my favorite comedic cartoons, adult cartoons, whatever you want to call it. And I don't want to go wax poetic about Big Mouth, but whenever I hear Jason Mantzoukas now, I just picture him fucking a pillow and all this. So it's just, it's really tough in serious settings for sure. But anyway.
Was that the one in yellow that has like explosive coins or something?
Yes.
Yeah. Rexploder.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah, I love the names. I love that you know too. Their
names. That's awesome.
Well, I just watched the show like a couple days ago, so gotcha. it's fresh in the old noggin, Andy.
They do some really creative things because over the decades, it's become difficult to come up with superheroes and their powers that are unique but also not lame. Like you can do like Mustard Man, you know, it's like
Condiment King.
To be, yeah, you can be unique in that way, but it's like, okay. And but especially IPs like this and like The Boys, where you have dozens and dozens of different powers and you have to try to be somewhat unique, and they do a good job. There's some pretty
yeah, and I love how just unabashedly weird the show is, and they lean into it. Like every episode is like, oh, there's aliens coming through a portal now, and then the next episode is like, oh, there's a weird, you know, fish dude that's wearing like a V-neck shirt, and he's just like bored underwater. And there's a lot of weird shit that happens in this show, and they lean into it, and it reminds me a lot of like this is a completely different show tonally, but it was Earth's Mightiest Avengers, which is the Avengers cartoon series from like 10 years ago, where every episode was like really weird and goofy. And it was like, yep, this is a comic book world. But imagine that. But if it was like, you know, a lot more serious and adult and actually resonating still with,
right.
with a bomb cast. There's a lot of plot threads going on that's alternate from the main story, which I can't even get into. Because that would be too much of a spoiler. But there's a lot of really neat plot threads with like this character. Like, oh, is this character, you know, what are they up to? What's this power? You know, what's the secret government organization? Are they good? There's a lot of like, who do I trust in the show? Like, because other than the main character, there's good reason to not trust anyone else.
Right.
Other than the main character named Invincible. But no, I've been having a blast with it. I love it. The other thing that I have been streaming of note, I'm going to give you a little hint. You guys ready for it?
I'm ready. I don't know if they're ready at home. They're going to have to get ready real quick.
Test your might.
Oh, yeah.
Test your might.
Here it comes.
Yeah. Oh, you guys. Oh, here it comes.
Just do it. Here's just do mind. It, bro.
We got to wait. We got to hold it. Here we go. You guys ready? It's might. Going down. Yes. Dun, 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 dun. So yeah, I watched the original Mortal Kombat movie.
And the sequel, I hope.
No, I did not watch Annihilation. So I watched the 1995 Mortal Kombat directed by Paul Anderson.
Paul
Thomas Anderson. There's like three Paul Andersons in film, and it's easy to confuse them.
It's probably not Paul Thomas Anderson.
It's definitely not.
No, shit. It is. Oh, now I'm going to.
But that would be amazing.
Dude, to see a just Paul like Thomas a Anderson movie.
13 minute long wide shot opening of just Shang Tsung standing over a bed of bones, like writing poetry.
Oh my God, that would be amazing. So it's Paul W.S. Anderson. Sorry. Yeah, there's like so many fucking Paul Andersons in
that. That is weird.
If I was named Paul Anderson and I wanted to be a director, I would certainly not change my name just in case. It got me some extra clicks.
So it was also the 1996 movie. I said 95 earlier, so forgive me. But God damn it, that movie is so bad, but I love everything about it. Like it's the type of bad you can watch and just love because... it's not ashamed of what it is, but it also knows what it is at the same time. And there's a lot of weird quirks in the movie. Like, for example, Christopher Lambert. He plays Lord Raiden in like on the surface. That's horrible casting. Like that's really bad casting, but he's one of the best parts of the movie because this dude fucks up on screen like 10 times in the movie and they keep every single one of those takes. I guarantee none of these were the right. Like there's one take where he's like, the fate of billions rest in your hands. Sorry. And then he walks off screen. Like that's in the movie and there's no way.
That's the best part.
and then of course, Kerry Hiroyuki Tagawa, who plays Shang Tsung, is actually legitimately good in the movie. He's fucking incredible.
He's amazing.
He's got such a great presence, and he chews his scenery.
Your sword is mine.
That line of him like holding Liu Kang's brother's head up and pointing at the camera saying that is so ingrained into my head as a child. Like that is like quintessential childhood to me. It's just that guy goes, your soul is mine. And we have so much to thank as Mortal. Like if you're a fan of the modern game franchise, you have so much to thank this movie for. A, that dope theme we just listened to at the top, but B, like this movie's the reason why Kano is Australian now. It's amazing. I just love how bad it is. There's just, and it's so weird too. Like, even though it's fairly faithful to the original two games, it also does really weird choices, like Scorpion's his you know, the famous Scorpion hook that he mm-hmm. hooks a character and goes, get over here, and
yeah.
brings you over. It's like this weird lizard like monster that like comes out of his hand and like meh, like opens its mouth. And it's so weird. There's a scene where like he's fighting Johnny Cage, and he like his little, you know, lizard hook mouth thing. He shoots it out of his hand and it's chasing Johnny Cage. Johnny Cage is running and there's like a bunch of first person perspective where it's chasing Johnny through the woods. And then at the last second, Johnny Cage kind of like sidesteps it. And this lizard thing goes into a tree, but it like splats on the tree like and it dies. And the only thing I think of is like, what was the fucking plan there? Was it just going to hit Johnny Cage and die? Like, but no, it's... Oh, and the Goro puppet in that movie is like amazing, but also horrible at the same time. Cause it looks really cool. Like they put a lot of effort into that thing, but at any moment it looks like someone could literally just like slightly push it and it'll fall over. Cause it's so top.
It's like the 77 Star Wars kind of vibes for me. Like the,
yeah,
they don't make them like that anymore. You know,
they definitely not. And I guarantee in the next Mortal Kombat movie that comes out next week, Goro is going to be like a completely CGI character, which is fine. But I think, even though it looks like a bad puppet, there's still, you know, some truth to, or some positives to having a bad looking puppet on film. Cause that's still a tangible thing. And even if it looks silly, you still believe it's real.
Goro was a puppet.
Yeah. He was a puppet in that movie. Well, it looked like a dude, but then they had this giant apparatus on top of him, and then that was puppeted, and then just some guy kind of
walked around like kids in a cartoon trying to stand on top of each other to buy beer, you know?
Yeah.
what's your count number? 7.
But no, it's great. I will not watch the second one, Mortal Kombat Annihilation, because that's just hands down a really bad movie. I don't know if I could suffer through it.
I actually want to watch the original Mortal Kombat now.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, like I said, it's not great, but it's like one of those things, you watch that movie and just everything about it, from the way it looks, like the cameras they use, the lenses they're using, the movements they're using, the way they write it. It's in a way that's like, man, they don't make movies like that anymore. Like, you can make a bad movie today, but bad movies today don't look like a bad movie of that time, if that makes sense. And in a way, it's nostalgic. I don't know if this movie came out today, if I would be like, oh, I love it. Like, I know it's a rose.
You would if you were 8.
Oh, sure. That's what that movie's for. There's a lot of weird things that the movie does. Like, there's a scene where, so Johnny Cage challenges Goro, and it's just like, oh, Goro, he's the scary, you know, champion. How is Johnny Cage going to beat him? And the opening thing he does is the patented Johnny Cage nut shot, where he does the splits and punches him in the dick. And Goro's like, the puppet, like, and then Johnny Cage just runs away. He like doesn't keep fighting him. He just runs off. And then Shang Tsung's like, hey, go kill him. And Goro, you know, goes up the stairs just for Johnny Cage to go, hey, dumbass, and pushes him off a cliff. Like, why couldn't you just kill him there? It's a weird sequence, but I love it. It's so bad. I love it so much.
Yeah, I watched it dozens of times. And that and the Jean-Claude Van Damme Street Fighter.
Oh, yeah.
Another gem. Can't wait till they remake that. But they got to bring back JCVD.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that was your streaming list, right?
That was.
Okay. Mine's pretty short as well. I had a pretty hellacious week at the old day job, which I almost escaped, Andy.
Almost, dude.
I'm very invested in the Dogecoin. Listeners may know what that is. And before you think I'm a douche, I have very strong feelings about it for another platform. I could wax about it. I could talk about it a lot. I'm not going to go there here. Just know that I almost made, and still may, a large enough sum of money to just like full-time commit to my 9 fans. Do you know what I mean? Anyway.
We're also very excited to introduce to the Streaming Things podcast family, Dogecoin Cast with Chris.
Dogecast.
It's just Chris.
Welcome back. I'm freaking out. I need to borrow money. To the moon. Why did you sound like... That's the... What's his... Brian Posehn is who you sounded like when he does that voice.
No,
to the moon.
To the moon. I can never have you.
Anyway, I did watch some things. I watched the new HBO Max show, The Nevers, written, directed by Joss Whedon, or at least co-wrote by Joss Whedon. And the first episode was directed by Joss Whedon. I know that's kind of a not so good of a name to bring up these days for good reason. But the show is actually good. It's very complex. It's like a steampunk. It's way more steampunky than I had predicted. It's a Victorian era, like X-Men sort of, not to be reductionistic, but so it's about these, I think it's mostly women, at least that I've seen so far. It could be exclusively women. They are what we call touched. And that just means they have powers. They're kind of like born as mutants and they all have different abilities. Like one's giant and one can see the future and one, you know, can throw fireballs. It's the X-Men, right?
Sounds good.
I'm already in that, right? And it's Victorian era though. So it's like mid 1800s, horse and buggy, Jane Austen type stuff. It's very complex, you know, political intrigue and you know, sociology involved in it. And I didn't really know what was going on for like the first 20 minutes or so or care to, and started to get concerned. But then it all kind of came together. I still don't really know what's going on, but I have a sense of it and it was very entertaining. So I highly recommend The Nevers. Mostly the appearance of Nick Frost is kind of what I had no idea. I don't watch trailers as often as I can avoid them, so I didn't know he was in it. And he is playing a very serious, dangerous gangster role, which I have never seen.
Oh, wow.
Like the most serious thing I've ever seen him. No, that's not true. It wasn't serious at all. But Fighting with the Family. I'm sure, Steve, you've seen that.
I actually haven't.
Really?
Wow.
He's a huge wrestling fan. Wow. The Page.
I pick and choose my battles.
Yeah. You should watch that movie.
Well,
it's actually really good.
Her family is kind of a real life piece of shit. So I didn't really want to support that endeavor.
Oh, like in real life. Yeah. They're terrible people.
Yeah.
Well, in the movie, the Nick Frost daddy version is a wonderful man. And
I'm sure he would love to find that out.
And I love Florence Pugh. And I highly recommend the movie, even if the actual people didn't turn out so well. But anyway, Nick Frost, he's like this. I don't even know how to describe it. Like he shows up in this carriage and he's having this Peaky Blinders-esque negotiation with one of the main characters. And he's like, I'll fucking cut you right here. You know? And I'm like, Nick Frost, you won't do that. You know, like it's so weird, but it's awesome. You're
a bad boy.
Stop it.
Stop being a bad boy.
You're not going to cut her.
Was it believable though? Like did he get nail the role?
Yes. Yeah. He's fearsome. His like lackey pisses him off when she leaves. And I was like, I don't want to be that guy. So that's neat. He's got the bald head and the beard now, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
Anyway, love Nick Frost.
And did you remember when Nick Frost played Santa Claus in Doctor Who?
I don't. When did that happen?
I think it was in the Peter Capaldi era.
Oh, okay. I haven't made it there yet.
He's a great Santa Claus because he's like a I don't give a fuck kind of Santa Claus.
I paused my rewatch. I got most of the way through up to Matt Smith and I'm about back up to where I left it off before. So I'm excited. Very excited.
Peter Capaldi. I just want to say that.
Peter Capaldi. Sorry. It's a fun name to say.
Get ready for Peter Capaldi's attack eyebrows.
I also watched a movie called Overlord. Have you guys seen this?
Is that the zombie movie?
Yes, like Nazi zombies.
It has John Walker.
It does have Wyatt Russell. That's why I watched it. I was trying to like, because we'll get to that in a second. But no, we'll get to it now. I don't like Falcon and the Winter Soldier at all. And
nor me.
Therefore, I don't like Wyatt Russell. And I've seen a lot of like, he's actually a really good actor stuff on Twitter. So I was like, really? Let me see this. I don't know if he's a good actor or not. Like, I'm not going to say I'm not an actor, right? I've dabbled, but who knows? I'm not a huge fan, but I'm sure he's a great guy. I didn't like Overlord either. Is what I'm getting at. So that didn't, I was like, and I don't mind schlock and I don't mind horror and I don't mind like having fun with stuff at all. I know you can't tell from my recent reviews of things, but typically I like to have a good time. So I'm like
the party
Nazi zombies. I love that video game, the sub game on Call of Duty. I'm gonna watch this. And it was produced by Steven Spielberg, which you can tell it's a beautiful movie. There's a lot of money in the camera and you can tell that it's very bombastic, almost too much. Like
some of the visual effects are crazy.
You've seen the movie. Both of you have seen it.
I have.
So
I've decapitated head. Like help me. What's going on or whatever. I was like, yes. Holy fuck.
Yeah.
That was crazy looking. I've
seen it only through the prism of the person sitting in front of me of an airline trip was watching it and I saw everything with no headphones on.
You watched the entire thing that way?
Yeah.
Was it like one of those things that you actually had to pay to watch? Did you have a screen yourself that you could have watched it on and didn't?
Yeah, but the person was watching the whole time and I just kept finding myself kind of my eyes drifting like, what are they doing over there?
Why didn't you just ask for headphones and watch it?
Because I'm fucking cheap as shit, man.
Oh, they cost money and were on that flight.
Yeah, on that one, yeah.
Huh.
That okay. was like a premium one, or like it had just come out or something.
Interesting. Anyway,
I could be remembering wrong, but I remember there was a reason why I was like, oh, I'm not gonna.
The flights I've been on, they just walk up and down, handing them out to everybody. Like,
say, this is where Steve these? Just discovered that it's free.
Didn't have to do that. Oh man, I sat for 5 hours.
You rich fucks and coach with your headphones watching the TVs on the seatsies.
I can hear what's on the TV.
I didn't hate it, but I was just like, even for what it was, I wasn't like super entertained, you know? Mm-hmm. And for instance, I'm watching it with my kid and he didn't want to like finish it, you know, and he's wow. pretty easy to entertain. But there were some really good scenes. I could see the money on the screen. It was fun. It was fine. I should say it was directed by Julius Avery and written by Billy Ray. I also watched, as Andy pointed out, Nobody. And in fact, we had meant to watch Minari because we wanted to watch. We've seen most of the Best Picture nominees, except for like two a piece, different ones, I think. Mm-hmm. And
but neither had seen Minari.
And that was the only movie neither of us had seen on the Best Picture noms list. And we're like, let's watch Minari. So we watched Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Terrible idea. Got really sleepy. Hated it even more than the other ones. So then we got some food, came back. Then I got all full and I looked at Andy and I was like, look, it's probably an amazing film. I'm going to watch it this week. I don't want to watch Minari right now. And I don't watch trailers, so I don't even know what the fuck it's about. I'm looking at the cover like, no. And Andy's like, I don't either. And so I'm like, give me the remote. And I swipe right twice because he's on Grindr on his Apple TV. And I'm just playing around.
Damn right.
And then I close that app and I go into Apple TV and I swipe right once. And I find Nobody, now available to rent because it was one of the only films this year to be exclusively in theaters. And we still don't go to theaters. And it's Nobody, $19.99 to watch it. Holy shit. Let's do it. Andy, it's your credit card anyway. And I clicked it and we rented that. And
then he turned to me and went, oh shit, you have yours password protected? I was like, yeah, bro.
No, that's bullshit. So as he said, it was directed by Ilya Naishuler. I believe you pronounced it. Sounded correct.
I think so.
And then Derek Kolstad, the writer of the John Wick franchise up until the newest movie. And you can definitely tell that he wrote the John Wick movies. It is very much, as Andy said, Bob Wick. Andy had a good time. He was also not as into it as I was. I got the vibe.
Not quite as much.
I fucking love this movie.
Second half, I dug into it.
For sure. They really leaned into it. Mm-hmm. It has Christopher Lloyd in it. I don't know if you knew this.
Great Scott.
And it is awesome. And he does exactly what you would expect Christopher Lloyd in a John Wick movie to do.
Build a DeLorean and run people over.
It is fucking amazing. And they've totally leaned into that. And I actually got a lot out of the thematic elements, the casting, much like what I said about Promising Young Woman a few weeks ago. This is an excellent exhibition of how to like cast the perfect person for what you're trying to say. It's meant to be an unassuming everyman with the abilities of John Wick. Which I think in some ways John Wick was meant to be, and yet it's Keanu Reeves. And we all know he's the hardest working man in show business. So it doesn't surprise us he can do those things. But Bob Odenkirk, you're genuinely surprised if he was to say, you know, kill three men with a pencil, you know, absolutely enamored with that movie. And I think it's partially because I haven't had that much fun watching a movie in like a month. Or maybe even longer. No offense to GBK. I know there's some huge fans of Godzilla versus Kong out there. For a lot of the world, I think Godzilla versus Kong was this cathartic experience they hadn't experienced in a good while because there hadn't been any giant blockbusters in so long. And they were like, ah, fucking money on the screen. Yes. You know, like that was that for them. And I'm not trying to take that away from them, but it pissed me off. Or like I watched too many Godzilla movies that week and it just made it worse. Right. But for me, that was Nobody for me. Like, yes. You know, like it was so fun. I was watching it with my homies, as Dr. Evil would say,
homies,
having such a good time. I was so thoroughly entertained. So for listeners out there, Nobody is worth every penny of that $20. If you can swing it, go do it now. It's amazing. Had such a good time. Anyway, that's my end rant. That's all that I was able to stream this week. And that's about all I got to say about that. Now moving on to our next segment. Check the gate.
Check the gate. Check the gate.
Check the gate.
Check the gate.
Check the gate.
Check the gate.
Check the gate.
Check the gate.
Check the gate.
Check the
Check the gate is the segment wherein we here at Streaming Things delve into
that we made that bumper.
Yes, every time. We delve into the hottest, most steamiest, freshest takes on film and TV news out there that you can find literally anywhere else. And this week I've gathered a few things. Did you guys know? I'm going to start this new format of Check the Gate where I just say, did you guys know that did you know that Amazon is making a Lord of the Rings TV series?
I did. Mm-hmm.
Of course you did. You're not idiots, right? No. Did you know that that TV series cost Amazon how much? Okay, let's do it this way. It's even more fun, listeners. How much would you, Andy's pouring more liquor and you can hear it. And I love that ambiance to the show.
Very sorry.
I don't drink, just so you guys, I didn't relapse. They're doing it. How much do you think it costs?
What does that say about us?
You're normal people and you're not going to smoke crack cocaine if you drink.
I saw the...
Except Andy, but he does it like an adult.
Yeah.
How much do you think it cost? It's ruined because you saw?
Yes.
Oh, Steve, how much do you think it cost?
Like the show?
Like, yeah, like production. And how much do you think season. Amazon spent on season one of Lord of the Rings?
$350 million.
Fair guess. $465 million, which I believe is the most anyone has ever spent on a series of television by many, many millions. More than Game of Thrones, in fact. And you know how expensive Game of Thrones looked. So it begs the question. On the one hand, the nerd side of me is actually, I'll be honest, I'm 99% of me is like, that's going to be fucking awesome, right? Because right. I'm a selfish person.
So dope.
Now, it was actually a bit of a controversy on Twitter because it's like Amazon famously doesn't pay their workers enough and yeah. the conditions that they have. And yet they were able to spend $465 million on
a season,
on a show. Not only that, on a season of TV, but we don't know how money is made from these things. At least I don't. On streaming networks, it's sort of a mystery. You get some extra subscribers perhaps, but it's like, you know, you make a film for $400 million and you can expect that you need $600 million in the global box office.
I think honestly part of it is you have to spend more than you make for those types of services to a point, just to have tax breaks and shit, until eventually you can establish a subscriber base enough and jack your prices enough to turn the corner, as it were.
I suppose. I mean, it's got to be lucrative because a lot of different streaming services exist, but it's bizarre. But yeah, they really dug into the bottom of the old Bezos piggy bank on that one. Fun fact, that is very little of Bezos's fortune to make that movie.
He actually made that much money in the time you spent listening to this announcement.
I also read that just that first season is going to cost, even adjusted for inflation, more than the entire production cost of the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Wow.
Crazy.
I mean, that kind of makes sense. I get, depending on how many episodes
there's a lot more hours of footage.
A lot more hours of footage. And well, also,
sort of. Maybe not.
All the extended versions.
That's right. I was going to say, maybe not.
I mean, Lord of the Rings in general, I think, is a type of property where you could easily sink all kinds of money into, because you got to, everything about it is,
you got to delve deep.
You have to build. You can't just like, let's go out in that field and shoot. What? That doesn't look like Middle Earth. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. There's a very,
I think that's exactly style. What they did in New Zealand, bro.
Well, you have to move your production to New Zealand.
True that.
And I assume that's not where the production is based out of, I would assume.
Based. It's called Based there.
Beast?
It's not Beast out of there.
Hey, friend.
I want to see Taika Waititi's Lord of the Rings. It'd be amazing.
Peace off, Gondor.
One ring to bind them and in the dark find them.
I would love to see the polite New Zealand version of Lord of the Rings.
This is a quick aside, but one of my favorite things. So, hey,
give me that ring back.
last week,
oh, you're right here.
Last week tonight with John Oliver, used to do a fun little ribbing of New Zealand where they would play news footage anytime that Eminem, the rapper Eminem, was in the news in New Zealand, because it's like this week on Eminem, because they all say Eminem is how they pronounce that. Yeah. So it would just be a super cut of Eminem is doing this song.
Eminem. Anyway, we love you folks from New Zealand.
I love
it. Very jealous of your accent. In fact,
I wish I had that accent for real.
We're laughing with you. In other news, my Powerpuff Girls coverage continues.
Hell yeah.
Those who forgot, they are making a live action Powerpuff Girls. And I, this is a terrible piece of news for an audio format, but I saw the picture of the costumes.
Did you really?
I did.
Well, describe them.
So describe them as best you can.
They're girls.
Paint us a picture.
They're girls. Looking really powery, puffy, colorful.
Checking the boxes.
But in real news, I didn't know that Diablo Cody was a writer attached to this project.
Did you? Oh, I didn't know that either. That's awesome.
It is awesome. So famously wrote Juno and Jennifer's Body and
Young Adult,
if you're an asshole. I also found out when I was poking around on HBO Max looking for new episodes of Made for Love and The Nevers, The Iron Anniversary. Did you guys see this? Did you happen to log into HBO Max at all this week?
No. What happened?
So it's the 10-year anniversary of the Game of Thrones television show. And So they have like a whole section on their streaming app called The Iron Anniversary. And it's all of the most watched episodes of all time, probably some extra behind the scenes stuff. And they're making it a whole thing. And they also tweeted Winter is Coming on the official Game of Thrones HBO Twitter account, which the only reason I bring this up, I found it somewhat.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I mean, it's definitely funny, but it's also a little bit annoying. They just got this barrage of hate under the Winter is Coming. And I just found it after 10.
Like the hashtag, is that what you mean? Like on Twitter?
They just tweeted Winter is Coming, which is their first tweet in what, a year, 2 years, because it's been so long. Mm-hmm. And there was this, every comment was like, it just got escalating so quickly. It was like, you're coming to my house to fix that season 8, like childish, weird stuff in the beginning. And then eventually like, fuck you, fuck your mom. You killed my whole fucking life. And it was like, oh, whoa. You killed Winter is coming. Life. That's all they said. And like after 9 years and then one bad year, I would even argue like 9.89 solid years of the most phenomenal television ever produced. That is all you can do. Like, did that finale really destroy all of their goodwill? I would say nay.
I say nay. Hard nay.
I think that's quite rude. And so everybody's like, Iron Anniversary mob, these nuts. You know, like, it's just like, wow, guy. I don't know. I just thought it was weird. You didn't see any of that?
No.
No.
In my head canon, Game of Thrones ends with the Battle of Winterfell. The season 8, episode 3, I think.
Okay.
That one.
The Long Night.
That's right. So that's where the show
ends. That's one of the things most of the people are so pissed off about.
Which is amazing, which is weird, because I love that episode.
They're like, oh, you spent so long building up the big baddie just to get killed by a 14-year-old girl with a knife. And I'm like, that's the point. It's amazing. Oh, that's her whole purpose in life.
That was my favorite moment of like any TV series of all time, is when that happened.
When Arya kills the...
I was so pumped for that.
I'm not even going to lie. When I watched that in real time, I jumped out of my seat and did like... And like pumped my fist.
like a fist pump?
Yeah, I did a fist bump. Like, ask my wife. I like, whoa, yeah. All that shit in Braavos meant something.
Right. Take that.
Yeah.
Night King. Huzzah. Night King is shit.
It also had that great Night King theme in that song. The song was so freaking good.
I still listen to that entire soundtrack all the time when I'm writing.
Dude, I still listen to that all the time.
Yeah, Line of Seven is legendary.
Killed it. Same guy who did a lot of the Westworld stuff. Also one of the best soundtracks of all time. That's also in the same writing playlist. Plug in that. You can find that on Apple Music. I'm just kidding. I don't care. please don't listen to my playlist. I don't even think it's public. Anyway, I just thought it was weird that everybody gave it so much hate. We all love that show. Stop fucking lying.
I mean,
lying.
I get it.
Stop fucking lying.
That episode did, I mean, the finale did leave a lot to be desired.
For 100%. People, the biggest betrayal, and not to talk about Game of Thrones the whole episode, and for me, what they did with Jaime after such a long redemption arc, just to have him end in the way that he does. And I forgot to mention spoilers, I guess. I'm so sorry. Wow. Apparently you'll hate it anyway. that's the thing that gets to me so much.
Still, but watch it, because that's, like you said, Chris, that show is so good.
I mean,
except for the last, what, six episodes tops?
Mediocre Game of Thrones is one of the best things on television.
Yeah.
And
precisely.
Subpar Game of Thrones is one of the best things on television.
Yeah.
And peak Game of Thrones is like, blow your fucking mind. You'll be obsessed.
Yep.
Anyway, also, I'm a terrible newscaster. If you could imagine a journalist that would bring up a story tonight, our main story. Some dude did some shit at 7-Eleven. Like, that would be what I'm about, the version of what I'm about to tell you. Mm. Alfred Molina got Alfred Molina got in trouble.
What?
For
he did some shit.
He did some shit.
At 7-Eleven. Did he find out?
He talked too much in a Tom Holland-esque way about the Spider-Man No Way Home. And all I could find that he said was something about he does everything with his octopus arms or something. I don't know, but... It was Twitter blew up like, oh, Alfred Molina's PR girl. And it was just like gifs of people taking shots and stuff. And I'm like, I don't really feel like he did too much. I guess he's not supposed to talk about it at all. But
I mean, we all knew Dr. Octopus was coming back. So like if he says I'm using my octopus arms, it'd be like, well, yeah.
I think what I read was that he said something about it picking up his story from Spider-Man 2 or something, implying that like,
oh, he lived in the same universe
or something. Yeah. But again, it's
so
like,
he did not die a monster.
Well, it's like, again, no fucking shit. Like, you cast the same guy. Of course you're doing something like that. And plus the whole metaverse thing is like, you're leaning pretty hard into that. Isn't that the name of the Doctor Strange movie? And the something multiverse of madness or whatever. Yeah. So it's like, duh. But so I don't see why that would be big news, but.
The only Alfred Molina news I saw this week were people resurfacing the behind the scenes footage of him on Spider-Man 2 playing singing Fiddler on the Roof with his Doc Ock arms on and everything.
I would love to see that.
Okay, so this is from the article Alfred Molina Gets Chatty, Starts Spoiling Next Spider-Man Film by Jordan Hoffman, and you can find it on vanityfair.com. And it says, the British actor not only confirmed his appearance in a recent chat with Variety, but he went a bit off script in detailing some plot points. Self-describing himself as the worst kept secret in Hollywood, he then all but supplied his own ink. And he's supposed to be there talking about Promising Young Woman, of which he is an actor in that film. So
okay.
Basically, he not only confirms he's in it, which is not a big deal. We all knew that back in December. According to the loose-lipped Molina, the author writes,
the new movie will begin
moments after Doc Ock drowned in New York's East River in Spider-Man 2. I don't even want to keep reading because you might not want to know this if you're like me, but I just thought it was funny. A, because Tom Holland has that reputation.
Let me see your phone, Chris.
So much that he doesn't.
Oh, my God. He betted Aunt May. Whoa.
Did you say bedded?
Yeah.
Too much Game of Thrones talk.
That's some superior Spider-Man shit.
Uncle Loop, Loose Lips now.
I thought you were going to say Aunt. Never mind. Not allowed to say that here. Any hoozle. That's all the news that we have here on Streaming Things this week. Let's move on to our main event, a mediocre discussion, uninformed, about the 2021 Oscar nominations.
Oscars.
Do we have an Oscar music bumper? Nothing?
No.
Hit the applause button.
It's time for the 2021 Oscar nomination
Oscar
list. Here is your host, Kevin Hart. No, wait.
Couldn't afford him.
Amy Poehler.
Couldn't afford her.
Mike Wazowski.
Couldn't afford
Billy Crystal. Sorry. Mike Wazowski. I couldn't remember Billy Crystal's name, so I just said Mike Wazowski.
James Franco and Emma Stone.
We have.
Oh, that was a bad duo.
Ricky Gervais.
Ricky Gervais. No,
that's Golden Globes, and we couldn't afford him. Stone Cold Steve Austin. Oh my God.
Hell yeah. Stone Cold Steve Austin here, Sunday night Oscars, to tell you, if you want to see me give an award to this son of a bitch, give me a hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. All right, I'm gone.
Wait, wait, wait. Don't we normally open with a musical number?
That's all I want now is Stone Cold Steve Austin to host the Oscars.
Instead of a musical number, Stone Cold Steve Austin has brought his good friend, Matthew Modine, here to usher us into this ceremony.
Oh, hello. I'm Matthew Modine. I didn't know there was a mic in front of me. I'm here to let you know that we're doing the Oscar nominations this year. I'm looking for 11, but they told me if I spoke into this mic, they'd point me in the right... Where is she?
Just... Never mind. I don't know what Austin
I'm going to go this way.
Yeah, she's over there. So she's actually probably nominated. She had such a profound performance in GBK.
She wasn't there. I'm going the other way now.
Get the fuck out of here, Modine. That's a wandering old goose.
Old goose.
By the way.
I want to call people old geese now. That's like.
It's well, there's silly goose and there's a wandering old goose, and they're two different things.
I've never heard anyone say wandering old goose before.
I think I just made it up.
I'm using it now.
Because the reason at work, in addition to the normal misery, there's a crazy ass goose that keeps wandering the parking lot. And which wouldn't be a big deal. You'd merely avoid it. But this, I don't know if it has rabies or if it's just, it was raised.
Does it have a nest or
like
something?
Many of us millennials, it was raised with too much self-confidence. Because if you approach anywhere in this goose's vicinity, which by the way is private property, he goes ballistic and he's like, get out of here. I hear it in his voice. Just get the fuck out of here. And that some idiots keep like feeding him bread. Like he doesn't.
You don't do that.
Naturally know how to feed his damn self. So now he'll just sit in the middle of the road and all these cars have to go around him and he just won't move. And if you get out of your car and go, shoo, goose. Get out of here. Like I tend to do. I turn into like a New Yorker and I walk up to the goose. And I'm like, I'm walking here.
Nobody wants you
here.
There's
this cat outside. It looks like grandma, the fucking thing.
This fucking goose.
Blink, motherfucker.
Anyway, that's what made me think of goose.
There was a goose that haunted the NKU library. And my boss, because I used to work at the library, my boss had an office and his office was floor to ceiling windows, right? And he had shit like leaned up against the windows because he had a pretty cluttered office. And I remember he called me into his office one time and we're talking about, you know, business shit. And all of a sudden here.
Was it the goose?
And I'm looking at the door and I'm like, what the hell is that? He's like, oh. And he leans over and he has like a painting laying against the window. And he just moves the painting 2 feet to the left. And there's a goose that I guess just stood there and would peck at his... At his window, so he just hit it with the
is he like attacking the reflection?
Yeah,
or something?
I think that's what it was. It was a very territorial goose, and he would see his reflection, and he would attack it.
Dude, well, geese are the fucking worst, and there were so many of them, like at Thomas More and in KU, and it's like nobody wants to fucking fight you, Frank. Go away.
It might be good for the goose, and if it is, then we know it's
good for the gander.
Yes, Steve's always there. Now, for our main event, our discussion of the 2021 Oscars. We've got a special treat for you here today. We could talk ad nauseum about who's nominated and who's not.
It's Mank.
And go through each Mank category. But that would be boring, and we would never do that. Nor would we think to do that.
Oh, I think about wanking to Mank all
Let's
the time.
Let's do this. Andy, who do you think is going to win Best Picture this year? And I guess you should elucidate our listeners as to the nominees.
So the nominees are... Sound of Metal, Mank, Minari, Promising Young Woman, The Father, Judas and the Black Messiah, The Trial of the Chicago 7, and Nomadland.
Okay, and Andy, and of those,
I think that the winner of Best Picture should be and will be The Father.
Okay.
That movie was amazing. It was so good, and I cannot wait for you guys and you listeners to watch it. So good.
And I'm going to go off the cuff and say that I think it should be Promising Young Woman. And I will be honest and say that it was a very close race between that and Judas and the Black Messiah. But I think that Promising Young Woman is the most divisive and discussion worthy, and therefore deserves to be placed on a pedestal in the annals of time, so that when people Google best picture winners of the last century, it'll be there in their face and they'll be forced to watch it, because that's a fun game to watch all best picture winners.
So is that the one that should win, or
I think it is both should and will.
Okay. Well,
Steve,
I have a question for you. How dare you?
I will do it again and not care. You can't stop me. I will do it all the time.
Steve, how many Best Picture nominees have you seen this year?
How many have I seen this year?
Yeah, just given the fact that you love film, you make films, you work in the filmmaking industry, and you run a podcast where you talk about movies that you've seen. Mm-hmm. Given all that, how many have you seen?
I have seen no less than zero.
That is insanity.
How many more than zero?
How many more than zero?
Also zero.
Yes.
And correct. So, Steve, I ask you again, how dare you?
Well, if I had to pick out of all the nominations that you listed, Andy, which movie I think is going to win Best Picture, it will be La La Land. No, wait. Midnight.
It's Moonlight. It's
Moonlight. Well, that makes it even better.
No, wait. Midnight.
That's exactly how I went
know
for
what I said.
Zsa Zsa Gabor Land. No, wait. Midnight. Because I know about movies.
I did see La La Land. I did not see Moonlight.
All right. So
both very good movies.
I got an even better idea. Why don't we call some random people late on a Saturday night and see what they think the best picture winner would be. Ooh. Just to pick up Steve's slack. Let's do that. Because surely to God, these people have seen all of these movies because they're important.
And that's what you do.
That's what one does.
Yeah.
They get nominated. They get watched.
That's right. That's right.
So deigns the Academy.
Oscar nominations.
So who are we going to call first?
I don't know. Let's just do it.
What's up?
Hi, Jimmy. How are you today?
I'm fantastic. I'm at work.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Who do you think is going to win Best Picture in the 2021 Oscars?
What?
Who's going to win Best Picture at the 2021 Oscars?
I don't fucking know. I don't even know who's in, who's running.
So the nominees are Sound of Metal, Mank, Minari, Promising Young Woman, The Father.
I honestly don't give a fuck.
We appreciate your input.
I heard D's.
D's what?
D's nuts.
Oh, this is off to a wonderful start.
Caller number one, thank you so much for tuning into Streaming Things, and we appreciate your feedback.
Hey.
Hey, man, I got a question for you.
What?
So I'm here with Chris.
Hi.
And Andy.
Hey.
Oh, God.
We're on Streaming Things. How's it going?
Oh, my God.
We have a serious question for you. Who do you think is going to win this year's Best Picture at the Oscars? I know you've got a lot of thoughts.
Oh, man. I'm going to say Godzilla vs. Kong.
Godzilla vs. Kong.
That's a solid choice. It's Kong was actually my choice for best actor, so I get it.
I've heard really good things from Steve about that film. So,
famously.
Fair enough.
Well, thank you, sir. We appreciate your service to this country.
You're welcome.
Love you.
Bye. Love you, too. Bye.
What's up, you guys? It's Chris here. Welcome to another episode.
You really are on the show, so that's phenomenal that you answered that way. Steve and Andy are here.
Hello.
What's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, guys? What's the topic tonight?
We're talking about the Oscars. Do you have any thoughts on who might win the 2021 Best Picture nomination? Andy, elucidate him.
So the nominees are Sound of Metal, Mank, Minari, Promising Young Woman, The Father,
Judas and the Black Messiah, The Trial of the Chicago Seven, and Nomadland.
I'm going to go with a historical piece, Trial of the Chicago Seven.
Okay.
For 500.
500, Bob.
Is that how this works?
Yes, you get points.
Yeah. You've won 500. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
500 Manx.
I mean, what's the consensus among the cinephiles?
Steve has mostly seen Doctor Who,
none of
The Expanse, yeah. And yep. Destiny 2.
So I'm a pro.
And I'm going with Judas and the Black Messiah, though strong contender for Promising Young Woman. And Andy,
I think going with The Father.
The Father. That's right, The Father with Anthony Hopkins.
How does it feel to all be wrong? I mean, how does that feel?
It's typical.
So here's the truth. I haven't seen any of them.
That's the consensus.
Okay, great.
Which speaks volumes
you're on my team.
I don't know if that's indicative of 2020 or.
Yeah. Yeah. So if somebody could explain to me the selection process too, maybe you guys already went over it, but how does one get nominated for this? Is it a committee?
Yes.
Okay.
There is when a person stands up and they stereotypically say, first, I'd like to thank the Academy. It's because there's a real cabal, you can put it, of people.
So cabal has a connotation. Are we saying something here?
We're saying Mortal Kombat, bro.
That's accurate because typically it's 60 years plus white men historically. And so that's why. Oscar So White was a famous hashtag because they would always nominate,
movies about
Hollywood
saying,
and stuff like that. But now they're getting a more diverse Academy membership, and you can see that reflected in this year's nomination.
So like who are these people though? Are they, what are their qualifications?
They're industry workers, producers,
directors, actors, those types of people.
But don't gain directly from any of these
films. Production companies have to submit their nominees and
for consideration.
Yeah. And they will frequently throw parties and provide gifts to the people in the Academy, kind of like hey, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. I hope you really like my movie. Also, here's a Rolex kind of thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's very political. It's much like real politics in that way.
Okay. Yeah.
But thank you for answering, contributing to the show. I don't think you knew that was going to happen when you answered, but it worked out great.
Glad to be on, guys. I love your guys' show. Long time listener, first time caller, and I'm just really happy to hear everybody's voice. And you guys have a good one.
You too, buddy.
Love you, friend. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Hello, Madison.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, guess what?
What?
You are live on Streaming Things. I am here with Andy.
Hey!
I'm here with Chris.
Hey!
Welcome back.
And we have a very serious question for you. Are you ready?
So serious.
So serious. I'm ready.
All right. The question is, who or what is your prediction to win the 2020 Oscar for
2021.
Best... 2021 Oscar for Best Picture this year. If you need a refresher, Andy, hit her with the nominations.
The nominees are Sound of Metal, Mank, Minari, Promising Young Woman, The Father, Judas and the Black Messiah, The Trial of the Chicago Seven, and Nomadland.
A lot of choices there.
I really enjoyed Sound of Metal.
It was a really good movie, wasn't it?
It was.
The sound design on it was phenomenal.
And the metal just sounded.
I really like that one. I also really enjoyed Promising Young Women. However, I don't know if that one will win, but I would like to think so. But definitely, my vote is Sound of Metal.
So you think Sound of Metal will win, and deservedly so, but you think that Promising Young Woman is the most deserving. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, I would say so.
All right. Don't let him twist your arm. Answer truthfully, Madison. Don't let Chris cajole you.
Yeah, this is
into his worldview.
I will say though, all of the nominations were pretty great. Minari was definitely up there. I think they had a really good pick from all of the choices this year. But Sound of Metal, I think probably that one. I think that one's going to win.
All right. Good choice, Madison. Good choice. Thank you so much for letting us bother you on your Saturday night.
Of course. Well, happy streaming, you guys. I'm glad you called me.
Thanks happy so much. To
That's
going to
be my new... Happy damn streaming. It. Why didn't we sign off? That. Happy streaming.
Madison, you're a genius.
I like to think so.
Well, have a great night, Madison. Thank you for letting us bother you.
You too. Have a good one.
Bye.
Happy streaming. Hello?
Hey, what's up?
What are you doing right now? Are you busy? I got a really important question.
I'm at the casino, but what's up?
You're live on streaming things right now. Well, not live, but you're on the show. I want to see.
Hey.
Who are you? Andy's here.
Hey.
And Steve.
What'd I win?
Hey, man.
What'd I win? Nothing. You missed the $50 because you didn't retweet my shit. Okay, so who do you think is going to win the best picture at the Oscars this year?
Is Star Wars a nominee?
It can
like
be.
The original.
It is,
like,
but it's Last Empire. Jedi.
No. Well, that's an L. As long as they're not sequel trilogy.
Right.
Those movies suck.
Are you betting it all on black over there?
I missed out on Doge, so I figured maybe the casino had the answer. Didn't. Definitely didn't.
Well, call us if you need help getting out of there or if you need any money. I'll send you a $50 Amazon gift card if you retweet my streaming things tweet.
Retweet to my 3 followers. I got you.
Yeah, more than us, sir. All right. See you, buddy.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Hey.
Hey, Megan, are you busy right now?
I'm just over at Ashley's. What's up?
I have a really dumb question for you, okay?
Sure.
So
I disagree.
Full disclosure, you are live on my podcast streaming things, and we have a very important conversation to have right now with you specifically.
Hey.
I'm here with Andy. Andy, say hi.
Hello.
Chris, say hi.
Hello.
And our question for you, Megan, is who do you think is going to win the 2020 Best Picture Award for
2021?
I keep doing that. 20. God damn it. 2021 Oscar Best Picture. Andy hit her with the nominations to give her a refresher.
The nominees are Sound of Metal, Mank, Minari, Promising Young Woman, The Father, Judas and the Black Messiah, Trial of the Chicago 7, and Nomadland.
What you got, Megan?
Dude, I'm not seeing any of that shit.
Well, what movie would you pick? What movie would you pick?
What was the one with the girl?
The one with the girl?
Promising Young Woman.
There you go. Let's go with that.
That's actually a very solid choice.
Now, Megan, why would you choose that one?
Women are a solid choice.
Would you say that it sounded promising?
Yes. Very promising. Very.
Megan, I love you. Thank you so much for letting me bother you on your Saturday night.
I try. I love you. Don't always bother me.
Are you going to be home tomorrow?
Yes.
I will see you tomorrow.
Yes, please.
All right. I'll see you then.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Megan lives with my wife's parents.
Oh. Yeah.
Yo, what up?
What up, dude? What are you doing?
Just got done working from 6 a.m. till 9:22. I just stepped in the door not too long ago.
That sounds like a nightmare shift, man. So I'm here with Chris and Steve.
Hello.
Hello.
You're live on streaming things right now. We were calling to find out, what do you think is going to, which movie do you think is going to win Best Picture this year at the Oscars?
What are the nominees?
The nominees are Sound of Metal.
I'm glad you asked.
Mank, Minari, Promising Young Woman, The Father, Judas and the Black Messiah, Trial of the Chicago 7, and Nomadland.
I'm going to go Judas and the Black Messiah just because I've heard good things about it. I haven't seen any of those movies.
Not a one?
Not a single one.
Son of a bitch.
Not even Mank?
I don't know if we want to. I have no idea what that was like. I thought Andy just messed up what he was saying. Like, I don't know.
Bro, Mank is a movie about the making of Citizen Kane, which is widely regarded as the best movie of all time.
We wank to Mank on here.
It's true.
I mean, dude, if you guys are wanking to Mank, and here I come. You guys just saw me after working for 14 hours, so I'm on the way there for. If there's Mank over there.
we'll keep the Mank warm for you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like cold Mank. I don't know what it is. I mean, I got my shirt off right now. But it sounds like I probably should keep it off if I'm manking.
Evan, I love you and I appreciate your input.
All right. Love you guys too.
See you, buddy.
I mean, I don't know Steve as well as I know you and Chris, but I mean, I met him at the movies once.
Hell yeah.
And I don't think we manked, but you know. But
hey, there's a first time for everything.
You may have.
Yeah, we might have, dude. I don't even know what it is, but it just sounds intriguing. So we might have. You're right.
Hey, when the lights go down in the theater, anything can happen.
You're right, dude. That's, you're right. I have nothing else to say.
Enjoy your evening. Thank you so much, Evan. I love you.
I love you all, too. Have a good night, fellas.
All right, bye.
What's up, brother?
Hey, buddy. What are you doing right now?
Sitting on my couch.
My man, well, right now, instead of sitting on your couch, you are live on Streaming Things. We have a couple questions for you, my man. You ready? Are you ready to be on the show?
I'm ready to be on the show. Phone a friend. Totally off the script, not expecting anything. Ask me whatever.
All right, here we go. Who do you think is going to win 2020's Best Picture at the Oscar this year? Andy, hit him with the nominees.
So the nominees for the 2021 Best Picture are Sound of Metal, Mank, Minari, Promising Young Woman, The Father, Judas and the Black Messiah, Trial of Chicago 7, and Nomadland.
John, you wank with Mank. What do you think?
Oh, my gosh. A lot of those are phenomenal movies. I usually go with the dark horse. I usually am more biased towards movies I like.
Who's the dark
Promising
horse?
Promising Young Woman is a great movie. I'd either have to give it to that, or I would go with Judas and the Black Messiah. That movie was so great. Such a nice tale.
Gun to your head. Who you picking? Judas or Promising Young Woman?
Judas. I got to pick Judas. Loved it.
There's not really a gun.
It's not really a gun. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Then I'd go with Promising Young Woman.
Even though it isn't.
My man.
That's who I picked.
All right. Well, thank you, buddy. I'm going to let you go. Okay. I love you.
All right. Cool. Have fun on the podcast. Yay.
Thanks, bye, buddy.
Hey.
Hey, Abby. How are you?
I'm good. I'm confused.
Well, get ready to get even more confused, because right now, Abby, I have you on my podcast Streaming Things right now. I'm here with Andy. You remember Andy Kasson from NFS? Yeah.
Hey.
Hi.
And we're also here with Chris.
Hello.
Hi.
And we have an important question to ask you, Abby.
Oh, no.
And that is, who do you think is going to win the Best Picture Oscar for the 2021, the year 2021? Andy, hit her with the nominations.
The 2021 Best Picture nominees are Sound of Metal, Mank, Minari, Promising Young Woman, The Father, Judas and the Black Messiah, The Trial of the Chicago 7, and Nomadland.
I think, I want to say Nomadland, but I wouldn't be surprised if Mank won, because that's just the type of like boring movie that would.
So you thought Mank was boring?
I just didn't watch it. So I have no reason behind that. I just get the feeling. Gary Oldman, I love him, but you know.
Have you seen any of these movies, Abby?
Yeah, I've seen Nomadland. I've seen Trial of Chicago 7. What are they? I've seen a few.
So which one would you choose? Like, if you were the head of the Academy and like it all fell onto you as to who got the award, who would you hand that award to?
I wouldn't be mad if Nomadland won, because I really like the director's style of using just like real people kind of as themselves. I think it's really unique, and it's an Asian American woman, as far as I know. So it's great.
Got to have that representation.
Exactly.
So, well, sweet. Well, thank you, Abby. That's all we needed.
I know this is you like to spend your Saturday night, so we very much appreciate it. You're welcome.
Yeah.
I'm honored to be on.
Well, thank you so much, Abby. I'll talk to you later, okay?
Happy streaming.
Bye, Abby.
Bye.
Bye.
Hello.
Hey, man. How's it going?
What's up, dude?
Hey, so I got a really dumb question for you.
Okay.
And full disclosure, currently I am recording you on my podcast. I have Andy with me.
Hello.
I have Chris with me.
How's it going?
Howdy.
What's up?
So we have a question for you, man. So we're talking about the Oscars coming up next week, and we wanted to know what you think
is going to win this year's Best Picture Oscar. If you need a refresher, Andy's got the nominees for you.
On deck.
The nominees are Sound of Metal, Mank, Minari, Promising Young Woman, The Father, Judas and the Black Messiah, The Trial of the Chicago Seven, and Nomadland.
Well,
I'm sure you've seen all of those.
I'd love to wish I'd seen all of them, but I would want The Sound of Metal because it's a great story and it has a really powerful message in it. But the movie I think is Nomadland. It took the Golden Globe, and I feel that it is the more prominent of the movies that has been seen more by most people. And Frances McDormand apparently delivers a outstanding performance that is probably going to win her the Oscar too as well.
So have you seen Nomadland?
I've not seen Nomadland. I've read up on all the movies because you know, I got to know about the movies.
You're in the biz. Seen
it. Yeah, everyone's seen it, says it's amazing. And the director, I think it's Chloe Zhao, I want to say.
Chloe Zhao,
Zhao, yeah. Apparently, she is most likely going to win Best Director for it as well. But apparently, it's a really powerful piece that Frances McDormand, like I said, delivers an inspiring performance. So
she is excellent in that movie.
Yeah. So, but I believe Nomadland. Like I said, The Sound of Metal, the story. I mean, you got a metal drummer that is losing his hearing, and I mean, all he lives is music, and then he has to go to a place where he has to deal with deaf people and learn sign language and learn to live without his love. So, that is a better story to me. But again, I believe with the Academy, and most likely will be Nomadland.
Completely unrelated to Sound of Music, Chris, yeah. Are you a fan of Mr. Holland's Opus? Because that sounds very similar. Do you fuck with Mr. Holland's Opus?
It's also unrelated to Sound of Metal, which was the actual movie we were talking about.
Yeah.
But so, I do love me some Dreyfus.
Oh, yeah. Well, Chris, thank you for letting us call you and bug you on your Saturday night. I'm sure you've been very, very busy.
Oh, no, I just actually got back from vacation. But thank you for giving me a call. Let me explain and let me be part of your ongoing growing podcast that I hear is really good. So
happy to have you on and very, very appreciative of your name. I think it's a good one.
Oh, it's a great name. I feel like it's better than Steve, but that's whatever.
100%.
I
mean, that's
Hey.
I love you, Steve. You know that.
I love you too, man. Well, thank you again, buddy. I'll talk to you later, okay?
All right, guys. Take care. Have a good one.
Happy streaming.
Bye.
All right. Bye.
Baby love.
Well, hello, my gorgeous better half. How are you?
Yeah, good. How are you?
Good. I'm good. Before you get too involved, I want to let you know that you're on my podcast. All the listeners at home are listening to you right now. Say hi.
Hello.
Steve and Andy are here as well, of course.
Hey.
Hi.
I wanted to invite you on the podcast to ask you a very important question. Are you ready?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Who do you think should win Best Picture at this year's 2021 Oscars? If you need to know the nominations, Andy, go ahead.
The nominees are Sound of Metal, Mank, Minari, Promising Young Woman, The Father, Judas and the Black Messiah, Trial of the Chicago Seven, and Nomadland.
What if I haven't seen any of those?
That's actually a theme for this evening. So
what would you pick?
Yeah.
What was the best movie you saw?
I don't know. I can't even think of any that came out this year on the spot.
Just say Austin Powers.
Awesome.
You know you want to.
Oh, that was. Yeah, baby.
Watch that whole trilogy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, thank you, honey, for your input. I love you very much. I'll see you soon.
Okay. I love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Hey, what's up, man?
P Dog, what's up, my man?
How's it going?
So, full disclosure, you are currently being recorded on streaming things. You're live on my podcast right now. I've got Andy Cass in here with me.
Hey, man.
I've got Chris Rudd with me.
Hi, P Dog.
How's it going?
And we've got a very important question for you. Are you ready?
All right. I'm ready for it.
What, in your opinion, should win the Oscar for the 2020 Best Picture Award? Andy, hit him with the nominations to refresh his memory.
The nominees are Sound of Metal, Mank, Minari, Promising Young Woman, The Father, Judas and the Black Messiah, The Trial of the Chicago 7, and Nomadland.
Well, full disclosure, I've only seen about half of those.
That's okay. Good. I've literally never seen any of them, so you're in a far better position than I am.
All right. I will say, out of all of those, I did enjoy the most Trial of the Chicago 7.
Wow.
So out of what I would pick is that was probably my favorite. Who knew Sacha Baron Cohen could act? Because I didn't. You know, little Aaron Sorkin dialogue, always good for the soul. I don't know. I learned some stuff. I felt some stuff. I loved it. So yeah, definitely that would be my pick.
Tell me more about the stuff you feel. What are you feeling right now?
You know, I felt a wide range of emotions. You know, I felt angry. Mm. I felt it. I felt happy. I felt triumph. Mm. I felt it down in my plums.
Yeah,
you know?
Baby.
Yeah.
Would you say it made you want to mank?
So I actually don't know what mank means. That's one of the ones that I haven't seen.
So you don't wank to mank is what we're getting at.
I have no clue. What is mank?
Andy loves mank. I almost said wank. Andy loves mank.
Mank is just the name of the gentleman who wrote Citizen Kane. His name is Herman Mankiewicz, and he went by Mank.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, I mean, I have heard from the grapevine that that you like wank as well, too. So
that is a truth fact.
You know, fun fact, we've been polling everybody, Peyton. Everybody seems to love wank. It's a very popular platform. Get on it.
I'll dip my toe into it. I don't know if I want to go full in. I'll just dip a little toe.
My man. Well, thanks, man. Thanks for letting us bother you on your Saturday night.
No, dude, I appreciated it. I saw that you were calling. I was like, oh, this is definitely going to be important. But it exceeded my expectations.
Hey, actually, while you're there, is Sue near you?
Sue is not. Unfortunately, I was actually just watching The Cabin in the Woods.
And, oh, I love that movie.
Well, you caused me to miss the ending, but it's okay.
Shit, I'm sorry.
It's all right. No, it's all right. I've seen it a couple times before. So,
oh, we'll get in there. Get in there and finish that movie with your dad and all his friends.
I will.
All right. I'll see you later.
All right. Take it easy, guys. Thanks. Good hearing from you.
Bye.
Hey, dude.
Dude, what's up?
Not much. How's it going?
Good. So, full disclosure, you are currently live on streaming things. I'm calling you from the studio.
Hey, Sam.
I'm here with Chris. He just said hi. I'm here with Andy Kasson.
Hey, dude.
He just said hi.
Oh, I'm so honored. This is so unexpected.
How are you doing, buddy?
I'm good. My night's going well.
Well, I've got a very important question for you.
Okay.
And that question is,
can I borrow $20?
No, it's not.
I mean, I would do anything for you guys for sure.
Anything.
I know you're good for it.
Well, the real question is,
fuck, marry, kill.
We're just going to keep making wrong questions. But the real question is, who do you think is going to win the 2021 Best Picture for the Oscars? Andy, hit him with those nominations, baby.
The nominees are Sound of Metal, Mank, Minari, Promising Young Woman, The Father, Judas and the Black Messiah, The Trial of the Chicago 7, and Nomadland.
What you got, buddy?
Which one was Steve Yeun in?
He was in Minari.
That one.
Why that one?
Full disclosure, I haven't seen any of these films.
Yes. You were like the fifth person who said that.
But I've heard how good that movie is, and I've heard how great his performance is. So that's just my gut.
And let's be honest, that's how people actually vote, like in presidential elections, everything, right? Like, I don't know what's going on. I recognize that name. Check. Ballot. Done. Right?
Do, Yeah. Do you guys think all those SAG actors actually watch all those screeners? Fuck no, they don't. They do not.
They're working they're 9 to 5 oh. just like the rest of us.
Exactly. They're like, oh, is Leonardo in that one? That's not winning Best Picture. And it's not winning Best Actor again. That's how it goes.
Unless it's The Revenant.
Unless, yeah, they're like, fine. You crawled around on the ground for 5 months in Alaska and you had a bear maul you. You could have one.
We've all had bears maul us, let's be honest, you know.
We have? No, we have not. We have not. Absolutely not.
Hey, is Sophie next to you?
She's not. She's actually out with a friend right now.
Could you open the window and yell at her to come answer the phone?
Yeah, hold on.
Are you trying to see what Sophie's choice would be?
Oh, man. Oh, he's
yeah, she's like across town right now. So she's like,
damn it. All right. I was going to ask the same question. tell her that she missed out.
Oh, I will. I will tell her when she missed out when she gets back.
Screaming out the window.
You missed out. Well, hey, thanks, man. We're going to let you go. But thank you so much for taking time out of your day to answer our very dumb question about Oscars.
Oh, no, seriously. Anytime. I've been listening to you guys. You are all doing a fantastic job. Keep up the good work. I'm enjoying listening to your podcast while I'm at my 9 to 5.
Oh,
thank you so much, man. Sam.
I love you. It
means the world to me.
It means the world to me that you said that.
I love you.
All right, man, I'm going to let you go. You have a great night, okay?
All right, you guys take care.
Bye.
Happy streaming.
Bye. Bye-bye.
You're shaking your head.
Well, this is one of my closest friends. I call them at least twice a week.
My phone's not ringing.
I mean, we talk a lot.
Thank you for calling Judge Pizza. How can I help you?
Hi, this is Chris here at Streaming Things. How are you?
Good.
I was just wondering who you thought was going to win the 2021 Oscar for Best Picture.
I don't know.
So the nominees are Sound of Metal, Mank, Minari, Promising Young Woman, The Father, Judas and the Black Messiah, Trial of Chicago 7, and Nomadland.
I have no clue, but we have 10 minutes before close, so what do you want to order?
I'm so sorry. We'll just call you back, okay?
Okay, bye.
I didn't know you were calling a pizza place.
I really, does no one care about movies anymore?
Oh my God.
Well, that's,
she was like in the middle of pre-cleaning something so she can get out early. It's just like, these motherfuckers.
I ran a pizza place for 5 years.
They know it's Mank.
She's just ecstatic. There's no order to make. Do you know what I mean?
That's true. That's true.
All right. Anyway.
Do you want to try other people?
Let's do this.
Other pizza places?
La Rose's. What do you think? Papa John's is saying Promising Young Woman. We think that's controversial.
That's all the time we have for this evening. I think that worked out wonderfully well and exactly as we planned.
What a great cast of characters we got to talk to.
It is indeed. And I think we're going to set up something maybe that we could talk to our other listeners from abroad and try to figure how that is, at least so they could leave voicemails.
In retrospect, the Oscars idea of having a most popular movie Best Picture winner might not have been a bad idea. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure.
Mm. Everybody blew the fuck up. Like, what the fuck? Why would you do that? It's lame. It's whoever made the most money. It's like, no, that's what people actually watched.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
And I think I just want to end on this note, too. In my opinion, which is definitely the end all be all as a straight white male. Am I right?
Sure.
I think
2021 is a great year for that.
Yeah. This year seems to be a gargantuan leap forward in diversity in the nominations at the Oscars. I was actually quite pleased myself. And I think in general, the consensus is that they did a better job, which is, you know, better. It's not very hard to achieve with correct. The Oscars history, but I'm very pleased. And so I'm excited to, I might actually watch this year's Oscars with something less than chagrin or cringe. So I just want to throw that out there. But that brings us to a close. Again, you can email us anytime. We love hearing your thoughts at streamingthingspod@gmail.com. Next week, we're going to be talking about the true Best Picture winner, Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat.
Dun, 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 dun. That's all, you know how it goes. My name is Chris.
I'm Andy.
And I'm Steve. Congratulations to Chauncey Luce for winning our contest.
And happy streaming. Let's call some people and see what they think.
How should we take a big rip of the vape? So I don't see what people are doing. Take a big old rip of this vape.
Please put this like somewhere.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.